And welcome back to this week's session. We're picking up with a conversation we were having last week that's pretty fantastic. Let's dive right back in. So I guess Peggy brought up the, you know, what is your understanding of never marrying as God's will for someone's life? And again, I think that there are people who have that calling. There are. But if you don't feel that that's your calling, God gives us grace for what he calls us to. You know, if you feel like, well, I just think God called me to being single and celibate and you have no grace for it, that means you're miserable, you're not happy, you're yearning, or you're acting, you know, to satisfy what you feel God's not giving you. I think you would have a grace for your life if that was your calling. So
yeah.
I think if you kind of have a yearning for it, I think you need to check the yearning. Delight, what does the Lord say? Mm-hmm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and it is my pleasure to give you the desires of your heart. He wants us to delight ourselves in him. You know, he wants us to yearn for him. He knows what we have need of. He knows what we want in our heart, right? He knows if you want a husband. He knows. He knows if you want children. He knows. So what he's asking us to do is, like, full trust is really delighting in him. Like, you know, I know when we sit down to do goal study every Friday, it, for me, it's just purely about my time to delight myself in the Lord. And I know, I trust him with the rest of it. Like, I know, okay, God, well, you got to show up and, you know, handle all of it. In terms of, a lot of times it's, you just have to handle it. I don't know, Holy Spirit, where you want to go. I don't know what you want to teach from. But I want this to be about delighting so much in him that we just know he's going to bring us answers that we need. And we just know he's going to fill in the blanks and fill in the gaps, and we're going to be blessed. And I think that that's really about faith. It takes a lot of faith to truly delight yourself in the Lord, you know?
Yeah, it does. I think, you know, if you're in that season of like, I really want to be married because I feel like there's this emptiness. And like, if I get married, then I'll feel like a whole person. That's a really dangerous place to be, you know? And I think there's plenty of people that don't feel that way. But if we're just really honest with ourselves, if we can be as honest as we can be with ourselves, like, well, why do I want to be married? Is it to, what's the purpose? Is it to, now God gives us those desires. I'm not saying, and he loves to fulfill all those things, but if it's just about my emptiness being filled, no other person can fill you. No person can fill you up ever, like to where you'll be satisfied. You won't ever be satisfied. So it's like, I think it's the satisfying part, being satisfied in the Lord, being satisfied and grateful. And then I think out of that satisfied heart, I think that's when things begin to open up. But you can't pretend to be satisfied. You have to really be satisfied. And that takes time and intimacy with the Lord, because you can't fake that. You can't. Yeah. You can, and you can kind of see it from a mile away. So it's like taking it all, stripping everything down, going, okay, I'm going to be satisfied in you, Lord. I'm going to, because just like, you know, you're saying Mike Bicklehead, there's all these seven areas, right? Like, you know, I'm grateful I have a wonderful marriage, but there's other areas of my life that I know I have to lay down to the Lord. Like, I have to be satisfied in the Lord first, because there are dreams unfulfilled, but the Lord's like, come to me, be with me, be satisfied in me, you know? And it's, you know, just like those areas of my life, that area might, you know, might be that singleness for somebody where they're longing. And the only way I know how to move forward is to submit and obey.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
You remember that old, do you know that hymn? Do you know hymns?
Yeah. So.
Like, so it's like, there was this old hymn that my mom used to sing. It's like, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And it was this beautiful hymn, and it's just so simple, but not always easy. But the simplicity is there, just like the gospel. It's simple, a kid can know it, but it's not always easy to live out the gospel. It's not, you know, getting married is simple, put a ring on your finger. Yeah, it's not, but that's it. But it's not easy to be married either. So if you think that marriage will bring you ease, and it's really a call, it just makes you more holy, because you have to die a lot in marriage, right?
A lot.
Sometimes we don't, yeah.
Yeah, no, because listen, here's the other side of it. There are days where I miss when I was single and no one was in the house, or I could sleep with the TV on too loud, or I mean, whatever it was, where, you know, I could sit up and just go with my girlfriends and take the car when I want and be where I want to be. Like, there are things that you take for granted,
yeah.
You know, and the grass is always greener on the other side. So if you are single, I mean, I poured myself into my child and into other, you know, into his friends, and try to find those other areas of your life and pour yourself into them even more, because once God does give you a spouse, it's going to take something from you. Now it's going to add to you, right? But it's also going to, it's going to change some things. It's going to take something as it gives something, you know,
yeah.
And good. It's a good taking, but I miss it. I can't go on vacation. Raj, by the way, I'll see you in a week. I'm going to be by myself. Nah, you stay home. I mean, look, he would let me, but that's not the point. I would feel conflicted.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to know that there's like some really good questions here I want us to try to get to. So Miche says, my son got married last year and it was the happiest wedding. We all loved it, and Holly and my son Tom were rock solid. They've been together 8 years before they married. Crazy. Last week, she left him. She's had an affair and wants out. I'm devastated for my heartbroken son who only ever loved her. Ugh, how does she even manage an affair during lockdown? What? That's a good question. My faith is impregnable, but I cry a lot and do not know how to deal with this and help my son. Any advice, girls, please? Miche, I remember when my son got his heart broken the first time and I wanted to kill her. And there is so little that you can do except be there to comfort him when he comes to you or when he wants to talk. I would just sometimes say, honey, you know, I'm here if you want to talk. I'm here if you need me. I love you. You're amazing. And then I prayed a lot. And I'm telling you, it was only God answering my prayer, you know, and sending him what he needed to get through and to find his self-esteem again, because he's really struggling right now. I'm your son. I know he's probably questioning himself and going through self-esteem issues and everything else. And just pray, forgive her out loud in Jesus' name. So you can take authority over what the enemy is doing and wants to do, but you've got to walk out the principles and turn the key of forgiveness. And if you can help him in time to forgive her out loud, I forgive Holly for blah, 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 blah. In Jesus' name, Lord, I don't want to judge her. You judge her. You take her. Unchain what she's done from our lives. We give her to you. That's how you want to do it. And that's serious. Serious.
I think ultimately what you said, Cynthia, I mean, such perfect wisdom and advice. It's like, you know, the Bible does say to pray for those who despitefully use you. And your son has felt used. His heart feels used. And he may not be ready. You know, I don't know where they are or were in their relationship with the Lord. I don't know if the comment mentioned it or not right now, but you know, I think as a mom, you know, that gut instinct is to protect your child. And the best way you can go to battle for your child is to pray for her and pray for his heart, but pray for her that the Holy Spirit would convict that she would really come to Christ if she didn't know him in a way that, you know, she was surrendered and submitted. I mean, the only way I know is to pray for her. And also, I think, Cynthia, you mentioned just, you know, saying that forgiveness out loud, because as soon as the root of bitterness is there, as a mom, like, we can even embitter our children. Like, yeah, that girl, she doesn't deserve you. If you can, even if it's, you know, if you have to, like, whatever you need to do to say to your son, you know, this wasn't, you know, you're enough. You're enough. And we need to pray for her. And I'm praying for her. And you may not be able to pray for her just yet, but you know what? As your mom, I can pray for her. And I'm going to step in. And if you don't have faith right now, as your mom, I can step in and have faith for you. So you become this guardian of, to guard his heart against bitterness. Because if he goes down that road, then man, the enemy has so won. But you know, there is nothing more attractive than a free man. And I think if she sees him free, her eyes may be opened. Now, this might be a journey. This might take some time. And as we know, the trust isn't there. And even if she came back tomorrow, he probably wouldn't trust her right away, because trust is always built over time. But we need to pray for her. Cynthia, I think we need to pray for her.
Yeah. Why don't you take the lead? Let's say a quick prayer for her then.
Yeah. Lord, I just, I'm heartbroken because you ordained this union, God, when that covenant was made, you ordained it. And so right now I pray in the name of Jesus that, Misha's daughter-in-law would come to her knees, that she would fall on her face and she would repent. And you would bring her back to your heart, God, where she's tried to fulfill all those needs in another person, that she would come and she would understand and know that you would speak to her, God, everywhere she turns. Would you just remind her that you're calling her heart back to you and back to her husband? God, we ask that you would just intervene. It didn't matter if she was in a grocery store line, in a car, wherever she goes, God, that she'd be reminded of your great love for her. God, thank you that it's your kindness and your love that leads us to repentance. And so I ask, God, at every turn, your kindness would call her back to you and back to her husband. And Lord, in the meantime, I pray for Misha as a mom and as a mother-in-law, and I pray incredible amounts of mercy and grace over her, that you would rip out any kind of bitterness that would try to form in Misha's heart, but that you would just, Holy Spirit, you would fill her with your everlasting, abundant love, and that only kindness would come out of her mouth, that she would uplift her son, that she would be a rock and a pillar, that her words of wisdom would wash over him. And I pray for his heart, Lord, that you would come and gently speak to him and love him as your son, and that he would find his true identity, not even in having a wife, but in being a son. And that sonship would become the most important thing. I pray freedom over his spirit right now in Jesus' name. I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. You know, and I look, and if you're single, I mean, you know, we were talking about getting older and being single. I pray that if you have a longing in your heart, you know, for a spouse, that God would bless you, that you would move yourself into a place of readiness, and that you would see with God's eyes, hear with God's ears, and feel with God's heart what he might have for you that you might be missing. In Jesus' name, I ask that your eyes would be completely open now, only to see with his eyes. In Jesus' name. No, and Ashley, you know, has a question, and we're going to take a couple more too. You know, I see this, some strikes a chord, this conversation today. Wow. This is a big one. What can you do if you've been married for almost 18 years? We met when we were 18. So you're young, you're 37, 36. But we grew up destroying our marriage and not really seeing each other to get back to seeing each other once again, like when we first met, but this time seeing one another, how God sees us. I get it. That is a big one. So you got married as kids. You just picked at it and destroyed it. And you have wounds and you have scars now in your marriage. And how do you get back to your first love and to seeing each other as you were when you first saw each other, which was filled with curiosity and wonderment, and then probably somewhere turned into love because you saw the vision of who that person really was, and you saw their kindness, and you saw their strengths, and you saw how they treated you and how they asked questions and inquired about your day. Yeah. Okay. It's a big one, Nova, because, you know, Ashley, first of all, 18 years in, you're not going to be the same people and you're not going to see each other necessarily the same way. But one of the things I do is I remind myself of who the man is that I married by going back and looking at who he is and who he was back then. And I write down his qualities, you know, and I remember, it's just like I remember who God is when I'm in a faith crisis or in a struggle. I look at God's resume in my life. He shows up. He's not a man that he would lie. He helped me in this situation, in that situation, in this situation. Oh, he's trustworthy. I may not feel it, but he's trustworthy. You know, you got to go back and look at the resume of who this man is. And then even if he's not yet in that place where he can look at who you are right now, you start being who you were back then and treating him the way that you did back then, seeing him as you did back then. And it'll begin to, over time, I think, pick away. I guess it'll get bigger than the scars and the wounds.
Girl, drop the mic. Yeah. Cynthia, you hit the nail on the head. I think there's a couple things that kind of popped up in my heart when you were, you know, sharing this. And the first thing probably that my husband and I always say is a marriage that isn't growing is dying. So you decide that you're going to grow. You can't make another person grow, but you can grow. So you can look at self and you can reflect and take time and decide, I'm going to grow. And in that growing with the Lord, whatever that looks like maybe you've not had any spiritual disciplines in your life. Maybe you've never read the word. Maybe you've never been in prayer. Maybe you've done all those things, but you just decide wherever I am falling short, Lord. And we know it's not checking boxes. It's always a heart condition. So just, you know, saying, God, I desire to grow. And then I desire to, everything that I do is I'm working with you, God, and I serve you. So every way that I bless my husband, I'm going to decide to bless him. And every way I decide to bless him, even if he doesn't receive it, it's unto you. So you decide that everything that you do is unto God, and you let it be. And I think, you know, a lot of people do find themselves, you're not alone. After 18 years, there are a lot of marriages that really have just gone through time, and then you just end up doing life and you're at this place where you're just feeling depleted and like, yeah, you don't see me. And I think, you know, sometimes I've definitely been that person who is like, how am I going to do this till like death do us part? What? No, I can't do this one more day. And the Lord really opened my eyes. He's like, can you do this today? Can you be unselfish today? Can you love today? Can you do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider your husband better than yourself today? Like, can you do that today? And my answer is like, I can do that today. And it's that idea of, you know, we wake up and we say yes to the Lord. And I don't, that sounds like, oh, okay, well, that's just such a perfect formula, a way to be like churchy. But the truth is, every day is just another walk. It's another day to get up and we walk. And I mean, we could stay in bed all day, but we're choosing to say yes to use our legs and get up and go to the bathroom and go potty. So we choose. So every morning, every day we begin and we choose again. And so if we can come into the mindset where we decide that we're going to choose the person over our own needs, even if we get nothing back, it's for the Lord. I'm going to serve, bless him today because I serve you. And that, you know, that is a mindset. And it's not, again, it's simple, but it's not always easy. And God didn't call us to this really super easy life. He called us into holiness and to becoming more like him. And then a couple, I think just a practical way of doing, of that working out in our lives. Like, what's the practical? Okay, Nova, cool. Yes. I think the practical is if we just see one thing that day that our husband has done, and maybe it's just he's gone to work and he's provided in a way that it would be different if he didn't, you know, that we thank him and say, thank you for going after it. Thank you for being a hard worker. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Our husbands just hearing that from us changes them. You know, often men feel emasculated because, you know, but just thank them. And you might be going, well, I work too. Cool. I do too. But you know what? I'm still really grateful my husband brings in his paycheck and he works hard. So just that heart of gratitude. He might have put the toilet seat down and you thank him for the toilet seat. Thank you for putting the toilet seat down. I didn't sit and pee today. Thank you. You know, like that's a gift. Thank you. I think it's the small things. And honestly, if you can find ways to laugh, just laugh. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at together. Begin to find those commonalities that just, it take, you know, you just put a pin in this tension in your home. And my husband and I always talk about being, you know, creating atmospheres to in your home and changing the environment. As women, we have such power to change the environment in our home, you know, and that we have that ability. And when we come together with our husbands, we activate what we call this oneness superpower. Like we are two becoming one, and there's power in that. The gifts that you carry, Cynthia, and the gifts that you guys come together, and it is like, what in the whole wide world? There's so much power in unity, in that becoming one. But it takes partnering with God and one another to do that. So,
girl. Now, there's a comment here, and I'm chuckling, but Zandile says, I'm not married, but I live with family, but I won't thank them for putting the toilet seat down because they're supposed to do that. I would rather thank God. I'm laughing, but I am going to tell you something, Zandile.
That's funny.
I am going to just say this, Zandile, my sister. You know, there is something powerful that happens when we thank people even for doing what they're supposed to do, because it calls forth the thing in them that wants to do the right thing even more and more. So all of a sudden, so I say thank, for example, when my son says thank you sometimes after we pay for dinner, or he'll say, can I have, you know, mom, or he'll, I don't know, what will he, he'll clean up his room or something, you know, when he stays over for the weekend. And I'll say, oh, thank you, son, for picking up after yourself in the kitchen. Or, you know, thank you for thanking us for paying for dinner. When I thank him for doing what he should do anyway, instead of thanking God, what I'm doing is I'm acknowledging what God did in him, and I'm calling him to do it more, and I'm encouraging him to do it more, and I'm letting him know that I see him and that I'm grateful for even that thing that he should do. So Zandile, this is very, very important, especially in a marriage, because I don't know if you're married yet or not, but when you are, you know, there are things that, like, for example, I was raised in a family with a lot of boys, four boys and two girls. And it was the girl's job to do the dishes, and it was the boy's job to empty the garbage. And So with my husband, a lot of times I'm like, the garbage. And he's going to empty the garbage. I don't empty the garbage, but you know, I want it done on my time. And I sometimes am like, well, I'm not going to thank him for emptying the garbage. He should empty the garbage. And so anyway, I started sometimes thanking him. Oh, honey, thanks for putting the garbage out. And now he wants to put the garbage out as soon as the bags get full instead of wait. So you know what? Thanking him has actually encouraged him to want to do the right thing that he should do, but do it better and please me more in it. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy to call forth the vision and encourage people as they do the right thing.
Yeah, that's so good, Cynthia. I mean, yes, exclamation point, 100% yes. It's just true. Like, honestly, like I would thank my husband for whatever, just be grateful, like just thank him. And then just like you said, that prophetic, you know, act of like calling out the greatness in people, it's so valuable, and it changes people. And I've watched it in my kids too.
Yeah. All right. I love you guys.
Love you.
But we're out for this week. Have a great week, heart, everybody. And we'll see you guys next week. Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, your host of The Sessions, and I hope you're enjoying each and every episode each week of our virtual sessions from home. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you're staying happy, and I hope that you'll feel encouraged to pick up a copy of my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. And I also hope that in your efforts to walk in victory in your life, you'll become a member of Girl Club. It's a live Friday life and Bible study that I am bringing you with a host of regular real girls having real talk about real issues and applying our real faith. You can find out how to register and become a part of Girl Club and how to see all things Cynthia Garrett at cynthiagarrett.org or at ichoosevictory.com. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.